Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford, and we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We bless you today in Jesus' name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. A lot of people are looking in the wrong places for Christ. Christ should be the focus of every one of our lives, our interest, our desires, and certainly our will should be focused around the Lord. We're living in some very tenuous, capricious, uncertain times, but God does not change. Malachi 3:6 says, I'm the Lord, and I change not. And that's such a great joy. That should grant every believer, or it does grant every believer, and should encourage every believer, that he's the same. He doesn't change. He doesn't oscillate. He doesn't vacillate. He doesn't change with the whims of the world. Our world is so uncertain right now. Our government, right here in America, with the Mueller investigation, Mueller, however you want to pronounce his name, Donald Trump, Michael Flynn, James Comey, all of these things that are taking place only breed more uncertainty in America. And don't think the world is not watching this nation and watching the uncertainty as the deep state is trying to bring forth this one world order. These are evil people. These are evil people. But you need to keep your faith fixed in Jesus. There's only one thing that a man or woman can do that pleases God, and that is simply to have faith in God. What do you mean by that, Pastor? The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must have faith in God. When we have faith in God, it pleases God. And certainly today it should be your desire to please the Lord in all that you do. Before we go into the scriptures today, I want to play a song by 11th Hour simply entitled Faith That Moves Mountains. Can your faith move mountains today? If you've got the right kind of faith, Jesus said it would happen. Listen to the words of the song, Mounting Moving Faith.
Started walking, and Peter moved.
sea walking, mountain moving faith. Do you have it today? I pray that you do have that kind of faith that pleases God. I want to look today to one of the Gospels, the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 14. I want to begin reading at verse 25. I want you to listen closely to the Scriptures today. Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth ambassadors, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. I want to use for a subject today the cost of following Jesus Christ. The cost of following Jesus Christ. As I was reading the scriptures here in our scripture text, I was thinking about the multitudes on radio, television, internet, who do not preach anything regarding self-denial and cross-bearing. Jesus understood the discipline and what must take place in a person's life for them to wholly follow him without any reservation whatsoever. Therefore, Jesus goes through a litany of things, and I want you to notice how close proximity these things are to each and every one of us. What are they? Father, mother, wife, children, brethren or brothers, sisters, and his own life also. He cannot be my disciple. Jesus said, If any man come to me and hate not. Now that word hate means to love less. To love less. You've got to love less. Your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters, and even your own life also. And if you cannot love them less than Christ, he said, you cannot be my disciple. Following Jesus Christ will cost you more than anything in your whole life. In today's modern Christianity, we act as though following Christ is like a Saturday evening with beautiful blue skies and warm sun rays shining on your face while you're strolling through the park and with the cool southerly breeze passing over your face. The truth is, that is not the truth. That is not reality in bearing a cross. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." There are a lot of professing Christians, but there are few possessors. They profess, they proclaim, but they fail to possess. Jesus, in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke, verse 24, said, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Why are they not able to enter in? Because they did not sacrifice everything to follow Jesus. Following Christ is so demanding in that it will take more cost, more sacrifice than most people are willing to pay, much less having to endure any measure of hardship. Being a child of God is not for the faint in heart, neither for the weak, neither for the anemic. Anybody can be a sinner because we were all born, we were fashioned, and we were shapen into iniquity. But it takes a true man. It takes a true woman to lay aside the weights and the sins of this world and say, "I'm going to deny myself and pick up my cross daily and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how great the adversity, no matter how great the pain, neither how great the sorrow and suffering." David said in Psalms 51:5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Now, her act of conception was not a sinful. David was not a child of adultery like the child he and Bathsheba had. David is declaring here that the sin nature is passed on to each and every person. So many people today want a cheap grace and they want a cheap gospel. But let me tell you something. The gospel is not cheap. Grace is not cheap. It was all bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb. And it took the life of Jesus Christ to give you and I salvation and redemption and the way to come back to the Father. Jesus said in John 6:44, "No man can come unto me, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day." You just can't get to God any way, any time you please. God deals with people, and after people get saved, God begins to deal with them in a far deeper and greater way than he did as he brings them to salvation. Now it's time for growth. Now it is time for maturity. Now it is time for discipline to be set up within your life where you resist sin, you resist temptation, you say no to the things that the devil offers you. You say, "I'm not going down that path." James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. The closer you get to Christ Jesus, the more the world becomes insignificant and meaningless in your life. This is why it takes dedication. This is why it takes discipline. It takes discipleship. We are not to be conformed to the world. We are to be conformed to Jesus Christ and his will for our lives. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I can serve Jesus, but they're not willing to count the cost of service. When you count the cost of service, Jesus said, if any man come to me and hate not or love less his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brethren, and his sisters. If you don't love them less than you love Jesus and your own life, you cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Christ must always have the preeminence in your life. I said Christ must always have the preeminence. He must be the number one place in your life. Not second, not third, not fourth. He must always come first. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Some of you listening to me right now, you've got God down on about the third or fourth level of your life. He's not number one. He's not, when you awaken in the morning, the first thing that comes to your thought. Some of you, the first thing that comes to your thought, I need a fix. I need a cigarette. I need a drug. I need something. But it's not Jesus. It is something else that you're putting before the Lord. He's not first. He must be first in your life and in all things. When you count the cost for serving him, if you count the cost in serving him, you must lay aside everything else and put Jesus first and foremost. Not what you want to pick and choose, but what he has ordained for your life. So many people just cannot sell out. It's been said everything has its price. People have valuables that they don't want to part with. Whether it's an exotic car, or an elaborate piece of art, or an unfathomable piece of real estate. Yet somebody comes along and offers them enough money, they take it. The other day, the Rolex watch that Paul Newman wore for years, I think it sold for $12 or $13 million. And it was given or sold and auctioned by his, if I recall, his son-in-law. And the watch probably didn't cost $50,000 when it was bought by his wife and given to him. But in auction, it went for a far exuberant amount of money. You see, everything they say has its price. Can you be bought? Will you sell your soul for something other than Jesus, the Lord's Christ? Have you really considered the cost? This is why Jesus gave us such an analytical description here about building a tower. He says he must sit down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient enough to finish it. Lest after he's laid the foundation, he's not able to finish it, and people begin to mock and ridicule him and make a mockery of him. Can I tell you one of the greatest mockers that's ever been is Satan? He mocks the child of God. He ridicules the child of God. He castigates the child of God. He belittles the child of God. He does everything in his power and his might to lessen who you are when you count the cost and say, devil, I'm going to serve God no matter what. And sometimes, some of you listening to me, you have been pressed, as Paul said, above measure. You have been pressed to the degree that it could not be measured. There's no way to measure it. We have instruments to measure everything. Seismic activity, a ruler, yard, feet, inches, cubic feet. We have calipers. We have so many devices to measure stuff. But Paul said to the church at Corinth, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, he's trying to convey to them the gravity and the heartache and the hardship. He says in 2 Corinthians 1, 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. We were pressed out of measure. You couldn't measure how greatly Paul and Silas and some of the other apostles were pressed. You don't hear this kind of preaching today. He said, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning the trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength. We were pressed to the degree that we despaired even of life. Life was so arduous, death would have been a blessing. Now you can understand Philippians 1, 20, 21, where Paul said, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He said, we've been through so much, death would have been a blessing. We despaired even of life. That's a very straight place. That is a very arduous, that is a very, very difficult place for any child of God. But sometimes the child of God is brought to that place. It's not a happy place. It's not a pleasant place. It's not a productive place. It is a place where we are put in the crucible. And like the olives, we are crushed. And the oil of life is pressed out of us that we might do a greater service for the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to count the cost of service. You've got to count the cost of service. People don't want to count the cost. You see, because if they start counting the cost, they will ultimately change their mind and say, that's not what I bargained for. That's not what I wanted. Sometimes as a new convert, a new Christian, Satan will try to bargain and deal for your soul. Satan will create a circumstance, he will create a situation to put you in a place wherein your decision is overwhelming you. The decision-making process is overwhelming you. Will I hold fast to Christ and his word, or will I backslide and give up and gratify my fleshly desires? What will be the cost of service? We must serve Christ above all others. He said, you must love less. Your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters, and your own life, if you expect to be my disciple. Is that how you feel today? Some of the horrendous, horrific, and horripilating deaths that have taken place in the last few years in the Middle East with Islam versus Christianity, some of the horrendous death that people have had to endure, burned up in cages, drowned in cages, beheaded, just the most sordid, despicable, deplorable death. And all some of those would have had to have said was, I renounce Jesus Christ. I'll convert to Islam. The cost of service. Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't have it both ways. You can't work both sides of the street. You can't be on this Sunday and be off next Sunday. You've got to put your hand to the plow and say, I'm not giving up. I'm not looking back. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Are you fit for the kingdom? Are you worthy of the kingdom? Are you worthy of this eternal inheritance? Are you worthy to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Are you worthy of that accolade? Are you worthy? Have you paid the price? Have you counted the cost of service? Just as sure as you sell out, Satan will try to make a greater and higher bid for your soul. I love Paul's words in Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. When you separate your entire life to the gospel of Christ, you, my friend, will find it so much more easier in serving the Lord. If the word of God is truth, then the more word that abides in your heart, the more word that abides in your life means the more your life will be truthful. There'll be no hint, no connotation of sin, of wickedness, of a little darkness. Why? Because you're so full of the light of life, which is Jesus Christ. John 8:12, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When Christ illuminates your life, you are never walking in darkness. But see, once you get out of the light of Jesus Christ, then the darkness begins to pervade. The darkness begins to permeate your life. And as your life gets darker, the greater your evil deeds become. John 3:19, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Look at the wicked leaders in this nation. Look at the hush funds. Look at the slush funds. Look at how men in Congress have taken their salary and allotment for their district, their constituents as congressmen, and they pay off these people who they've done great and ugly deeds to. That's evil. That's a dark world. That is a dark world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They're looking for a means, a mode, a method to cover their wicked ways. They're looking for a method. They're looking for a venue. They're looking for an avenue. It's a sad day. There is such little light. John 1:5, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Is the light of Jesus Christ, is it shining in your life? Is it shining in your heart? Where is the light of Jesus Christ? Is it truly shining? The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Is the light of life of Jesus, is the light of his word, is it illuminating your path? Psalms 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Are you counting the cost of service? This is why Jesus gave this analogy. Which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? If you don't have enough of Jesus in your life, you won't finish the race. I said, if you don't have enough of Jesus in your life, you won't finish the race. You've got to have the fuel. You've got to have the Word of God. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. That's the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their lamps with their vessels. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, Depart from me, for I know ye not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You see, the foolish virgins took their lamps and took no oil with them. They didn't count the cost. But the wise took oil in their lamps with their vessels. They counted the cost. That's why they were considered and deemed to be wise virgins. They were not foolish. They were not apathetic. They were not complacent. They were neither lethargic. They counted the cost of service. It's amazing. It is amazing how God gives us His Word and gives us the simplest of analogies to help you and I to understand the cost of service. He's trying to help us. He's trying to get us to understand, and he uses real life instances, not making up something hypothetical. He talks about building a tower. You've got to count the cost. If you build a house, you must count the cost. And I find it intriguing, profusely intriguing, that he brings up the scenario wherein people will mock you. I see that as absolute nothing but spiritual. It is a true analogy in the natural life. But I believe he's addressing something far more richer, something far more deeper, how the devil will mock you. And then how we, as sinner people, unborn again, ungenerated people, we mock God. Galatians 6 and 7, Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We're not going to mock God either. Satan will mock you. He mocked Samson. You've heard me teach this, share this. Most of you listening to me, you've heard Samson preached all your life from a little boy, little girl, the strong man who took down the gates of Hebron, carried them away on his shoulders, how he could do great feats, great tasks. But nobody ever told you what his name meant, Samson. It means sunshine, sunlight. What did the devil do in mocking him? He bored out his eyes. Caused him to become a blind man. Some of you don't ever get to hear this kind of preaching where you go to church or who you listen to, because they're so superficial it begs description. They're not even scratching the surface. They're not trying to challenge you to consider the cost of service. Look what Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:9. He said, Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Do preachers talk about backsliding today? And sir, I'm sorry. Ma'am, I'm sorry. If you believe that false doctrine, once saved, always saved, how do you backslide then? Elohim, Jehovah, called Israel a backsliding heifer. What does it mean to be backslid? It means to be away from God. It means to be away from God. There are people who've come to know Christ and they turn and go back. Jesus said in John chapter 6, he said, will you also go away? When he said to the disciples that were following him, he said, you must eat my flesh, you must drink my blood. Oh, they got upset. They got terribly upset. They said, this is a hard saying. Oh, yeah. John 6 and 60. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Jesus said, does this offend you? The Bible said, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, I know my dear Baptist brothers and sisters will say they were never saved. So you're judge and jury now. His disciples, not man's, they were Jesus' disciples, went back, walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Hey, listen, folks. When you count the cost of service, it's a great cost. It cost you everything. Jesus said it like this in Mark 8, 36, 37. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? Look how much of a premium Christ put on it. Your soul is worth more than the whole world. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Your soul is far richer, far greater, far more important than the world. Why? Well, the world's going to one day pass away. Jesus said that in Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Your soul is eternal. Your spirit is eternal. When you die, your soul and your spirit go somewhere. It either goes to hell or it goes to heaven. That's just the only two places it can go. There's no other place. There's no other place. You must count the cost of service. You must count the cost of the service and serving the Lord. You see, once you begin to serve, you have to serve at the Master's will. Whatever God's will is, that is how you serve Him. Now, I serve Christ, you serve Christ every day as a Christian. But now, I'm not talking about Christianity. I'm talking about how you serve Him in your office, in your place, your position, your posture. How do you now serve Him? I'm a preacher. I pray, I fast, I witness, I minister all the time. This is my service that I render back to the King for His redemption in my life. How do you serve? Some of you may say, well, I'm not called to preach. Well, pray for me. Stand with me. Help me. Help me get this gospel out. Help me preach uncompromisingly. Help me to be in season and out of season. Everything that God does in this ministry that you support, you are a part of that. You have a significant role in what God is going to reward in the end because you've been a part of that. We are a body. We're many members, but we're one body. And I do my part, you do your part. I don't expect lay people to fast as much as I fast. I don't expect lay people to pray as much as I pray. I don't expect lay people to memorize Bible verses like I do. I don't expect that out of lay people. Why? You have a job. You have to go to a job 8 to 5, some of you second shift, some third shift. My life is Jesus Christ.
That I eat it, I sleep it, I breathe it. Every day of my life is about Jesus. I never get away from it. I can't get away from it. Everything I do, everything I do evolves around the ministry, the decisions. If I take time off, I can't take time off like you can. We're going to take some time off and see some friends and family over the Christmas time. But we still got to produce radio programs and get them out there because the ministry goes on. I can't just stop and say, I'm going to take a month off and we got dead air time. Well, we can't do that. We have to keep producing. When we were in Branson traveling, we have to have these radio programs already in the computer system for Blog Talk and for WWCR, for Charisma Magazine, so these programs can be aired. I just can't call in sick and say, well, just do an hour's worth of dead air time today. They'll play a rerun or something. The cost of service. It cost me daily in serving the Lord. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of the Lord. For I say through the grace of God given to me to every man that is among you, that a man ought to not think more highly of himself, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You see, Paul is telling the church at Rome, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. H-O-L-Y. You are a holy sacrifice. Then he said, which is your reasonable service. This is not out of reason. What I'm preaching today is not unreasonable. It is not out of reach. And then he said, be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind must constantly be renewed. If it is not renewed, you will backslide. Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind must be renewed, Paul said. And be not conformed to this world. I've never seen in my lifetime the unfathomable, detestable compromise that's in the church. Who would have ever thought we would debate, listen to me, that we would so much as debate the sin of sodomy and the church? We've gotten past that. We've already accepted that. Now we're fighting. Well, we're not. They've already done it. We still fight against it. We still oppose it. But they've embraced same-sex marriages. You've got churches. You've got denominations. You've got organizations that are marrying men and men, women with women. This is contrary. This is in opposition to the Word of God. But it's okay. It's okay. They say God made me this way. Well, there's no biblical evidence whatsoever. There's not one ounce, as Obama said, not one smidget of evidence in this biblical disposition that God ever made men want to have sex with men and women to have sex with men. Or excuse me, women with women. When God made Adam, he gave him a helpmate. He was called man. She was called woman. The cost. Have you ever went to buy something and you said, I am not going to pay that for that. It's not worth it. I mean, you just set your foot down. I'll not pay that. I'll do without before I'll pay that. Well, that's good sometimes, and it's bad sometimes. When it comes to the things of God, we are to be willing to pay any price, the cost of service. It doesn't matter the enormity of the cost, we ought to pay it. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ did not consider the cost. See, when you start weighing the cost, that's when you start manipulating, fudging, cheating. Well, I'll concede this. I'll give that or whatever the case might be. You can't do that. Paul said, be not conformed to this world. You see fog machines. You see strobe lights. It's a concert rock and roll atmosphere in many of the churches. Ladies up there with blue jeans. I saw a lady the other day on television, blue jeans, and she had holes almost all the way up to the pockets on her jeans. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, she was showing flesh. What happened to conviction and the sacredness of being in the presence of God? That tells me there's no Holy Ghost in that church. The Holy Ghost would say, my God, get some clothes on. The man of the Gadarenes, when Jesus got through with him, he was clothed and in his right mind. All of these people that are compromising, showing the flesh, cleavage, wearing pants, jeans so tight, you could read the date on a quarter in their back pocket. Why? You want that eye on your body. That's not the cost of service. It cost you everything, not your will, but his will be done. Be not conformed to this world, to this cosmos, to this worldly system. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There must be a continual, perpetual transforming of your mind. Why? So that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We don't care about God's perfect will anymore. I hear the phrase, the permissive will of God. In other words, what God will allow, what God will tolerate. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. God's not in the negotiating business. Let me tell you something. If you get your will, you get your way, you're going to get trouble. You're going to get heartache. You're going to get pain. You're going to get suffering. You're going to get trouble. You know why? That's a slippery slope. The devil will take you down a path of destruction. I've always used the analogy of Potiphar's wife and Joseph. What did she say to Joseph? She said, just lie with me. In other words, just come over here to the couch, the sofa, and just lay down with me, and let's just hug, let's just embrace, but we don't have to be sexual. Let's just lie together. Well, you've heard the old cliche, you lay down with the dogs, you're going to get up with the fleas. The devil is seductive. The devil is always seeking to lure you. Satan is a master. You'll find this is why it's imperative to consider the cost. Genesis 39. Verse 6 and 7, and he left all that he had, Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had. save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." See, the lust of her eyes were overwhelming. Joseph was indirectly in subjection to her. Why? Because she was Potiphar's wife. She was the master's wife. Now, this has that word there in the Hebrew, shakab. It means to lie down for rest, sexual connection. It means to lodge, to take rest, to sleep, to stay, to lay over, to lay down. My point is, she was seeking Joseph's compromise. You see, the devil put it in her heart. The devil put it in Potiphar's wife's heart to seduce him. You'll find in Genesis 39:10, "And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her." That's why I say I believe it meant she was saying, "Just come lay down with me." Because the scriptures gives us the delineation here. "And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her." Come over here, Joseph. Come over here, Joy. Come over and just lay down with me. She didn't let up. It went to the degree she grabbed hold of his garment. She said, "Lie with me." Now she meant business, buddy. She meant business. See, Joseph was counting the cost of service, and he said no, and he ran out of his garment and he fled. Where did his discipline get him? In prison. I can hear some now, "Well, that's just not fair." This is why you keep enduring. I want to pick this back up in the next program. This is why, as a believer, you keep on enduring. Matthew 24:13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." All Joseph knew was one day his brothers would fall down and pay obeisance to him as they bowed as sheaves before him. And the devil was trying to create doubt in Joseph's life and in Joseph's mind, the cost of service. The cost of service. Don't you know the devil was putting all sorts of thoughts in Joseph's mind? You know, I can just imagine that Joseph capitulated and slept with Potiphar's wife. And then Potiphar's wife said, "Hey, let's kill him. Let's poison him. Let's get rid of him." You see how one sin leads to another? And then you can be the ruler of this house, Joseph, because then it'll just be me and you. Hey, we'll get him out of the way. David did that. He got Uriah drunk. Tried to get him to go back to his house and sleep with his own wife, Bathsheba, but he slept on the doorstep, and he wouldn't do it. The man had such great integrity. David had to put him at the front of the firing line and retreat. He told Joab, he said, "Put him at the front of the line and retreat so he'll get killed." Man's heart can become desperately wicked. When you count the cost of service, you have to pay a great price. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to make the sacrifice? Following Jesus Christ will cost you everything. I'll have to pick this back up. I'm nowhere near through. Too many people don't want to count the cost. When you count the cost in the natural, it will cost you everything. everything. It will cost you. Are you willing to pay it? Or are you going to be like those who, no, I'm going to compromise. I'm going to still serve the Lord, but I'm going to serve him on my terms because, well, I don't want to go all the way. Then it's your way and not God's way. I said it then becomes your way and not God's way. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The ways of death. Potiphar's wife was offering Joseph another way. She was trying to use her body to snare him. But he said, I cannot commit this grievous sin against my God, Elohim Jehovah, and against your husband. And the cost of serving Jehovah put him in prison. Put him in prison. How much will it cost us before Christ returns? I don't know. But it's a great cost in following Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God bless you. I'll see you next time in the Lord.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.